All right, welcome to the eighth Izcast of 2013. I'm here with Wade and Ben. David unfortunately couldn't come here because he's working. We're gonna start off. We're finally got back together after what? Like David was gone a week. Mm-hmm. Then the next week you were gone.
Summer
Wade,
vacation.
And then
maybe.
I was gone in Florida. Ben had to stay back here and keep the fort down.
I'm still here. I'll be gone next weekend though.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Where are you going?
Chicago.
Mm-hmm. On business.
Chicago. Yeah. Chicago's hit and miss for me as far as liking it.
Yeah. I know
the
what
times
you mean.
I've been there.
I know what you mean.
I haven't been there recently, so.
We'll are you like going downtown or just near it?
I'll probably do both. My folks live in a suburb south of South Chicago. So.
Cool.
Cool.
Well, I think we're going to start it off with a project I'm starting, or I did start a while back ago. We're going to be trying to build our own 3D printer.
It's the newest craze.
The
kids are doing these days.
If you actually, a huge community now, tons of just all sorts of make models out there, and done some research, and I'm going to be trying to replicate a Alta Maker, doing it myself with help with Sean and probably some other people, trying to save some money, because I know like the MakerBot, what it's like. 2200.
Yeah, I think the site you linked was like 1600 euro or something like that. Or pounds or whatever.
A little expensive for that. The Alta Maker, they do sell. What's nice about them, they're open hardware. So they're free about what they've used, and they've also released some files for you to do yourself. They do sell kits that you put together yourself, but those are even around euro as well because they're from Europe. But I think it was like $1,500.
So for people who don't know, what's a 3D printer?
3D printer is a device that allows you to print various materials layer by layer onto a bed. Basically just like a inkjet printer. It melts.
With three dimensions.
It melts like plastic. You can do like metal or ABS and stuff like that. It kind of melts it and kind of just layer by layer kind of puts this filament together, and you have a 3D model that you can build, and it makes it,
which is really empowering for you because you love to model.
Yes,
so you can essentially make whatever you want,
because that's kind of even Will that we work with a little bit, like that's our strong point. Mm-hmm. Out of anything, we don't really have the tools necessarily, like shop tools or the space. We're just kind of borrowing garage space from here and there. And so it's kind of hard to, and time consuming, the fabrication of all those different pieces of, if we want to make some guns for our Down Under Heaven project and stuff like that. Now we can just have a model, you know, a day or two of printing, and you have it. Mm-hmm. It's there. You just sand it up a little bit. But
there's like a size limit though. Like
there is a size limit.
So how big is the one we're going to have?
Obviously it's in metrics. I think it's like 110 millimeter, maybe centimeters, like basically like a 200 by 200 by 200 box. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to be pretty similar, one of the larger formats. They're even making bigger ones now, or trying to. I know there's like various Kickstarter projects for it. But really though, as long as you know how to model and stuff, you can break that up. A lot of people are getting models from online from Thingiverse, and so they don't really have the know-how to maybe like slice it up, like segmentize it and print it and then put it back together, which was probably what we will do with especially like larger ones like the assault rifle and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like that.
Can I 3D print an Xbox?
You could do the case. No, because that's really cool though, is because I even want, you know, now that we don't have to spend time making these basic shapes, we can spend time with the gun, especially of making them actually have kickback and stuff like that. And then you can model the components to actually interlock together and and get detailed that way. And then that also breaks up the size of the various parts that you can kind of have scattered about. And then you print them all off and then put it back together.
We had looked at a CNC machine a couple of years ago, but may possibly gain access to one of those, which is... takes a piece of metal. Mm-hmm. And then kind of carves away
or
at
wood,
it, chips away, and then, you know, makes an item that way. But it's not really...
The problem with those is that's you're going the opposite direction, and therefore it's impossible to make like hollow things.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not, once you have it, it's just a solid brick of something.
Yeah.
You get like kind of the outer print of it. Where this, you can actually get detail from the inside and outside, and it's just right off the bed. It's mm-hmm. it's a finalized product.
Plus, with CNC, once you like carve away something, like it's gone, you can't put it back on.
Mm-hmm.
Or 3D printing, you know, it's constructive
mm-hmm.
modeling, not destructive.
Yeah, and therefore you're using less materials mm-hmm. too.
Saving money. You're yeah. investing now so we can save money later. So,
mm-hmm. and there's great websites now, services like Shapeways. We were looking into that. Even our friend Will has been printing through them, but you're paying for the time that it takes to print stuff,
mm-hmm.
which is a lot. And they even just changed their model. If you want to do bigger pieces that take up more room, they can't fit other objects on it. So you got to pay for that space
okay.
that you're taking up for them to print other customers' stuff. So it's like, it turns out to be really, really expensive.
Could you say print two or three things at one time? Mm-hmm. Like I could fit in like two or three separate smaller models on
yep.
onto the
cube. Yep, and that's what, like I said, that's what those, they have really big, you know, machines, and they can get a bunch of customers, line them all up, and have it go
mm-hmm.
and print everything, single one.
How much does it cost for the raw material that you're printing with?
I think for like a spool, which, you know, depending on how you make the model and design it, I don't know, probably like $30 or something okay. like that. Probably less.
Does it cost more or less than printer ink, which is, of course, as we all know, absolutely made from unicorn blood?
Probably less. I think Jake was telling me it was like, David was like, it's the most expensive liquid in the world. Like, I'm not joking.
Yeah, printer ink.
Yeah.
You know, they'll have
like it's more than gold and all that stuff.
Jet fuel.
They'll have memes on Facebook of like pen, 29 cents. Printer ink, like $25.
Yeah. But like the amount you're paying for the amount you're getting,
mm-hmm.
I think it's more expensive even than like jet fuel and stuff like that.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, then, how do you make it? Do you actually like just like harvest squid like you would in Minecraft? I can't imagine that.
I don't know what they do.
Yeah, so the rarest thing to get in Minecraft isn't diamond, it's printer ink.
That'd be awesome.
Well, all right, well...
Yeah, I'm excited.
Do we have a timeline? Do you think about that?
I just ordered a bunch of stuff last night. I was up to like 2 doing it. So
how much did you order?
Enjoy yourself?
Quite a bit of it. I think it was like $400 worth
of
stuff.
Are you planning on just buying all the parts before you start building? Or
yeah.
Okay.
Try to get everything as much as I can. Obviously, I'm still trying to figure out the structural component of it, the laser cut parts. I don't know, the guy's not getting back to me on my quote. So, and then I'm kind of waiting for Sean to get back in Minnesota, and that's another.
Yeah,
he'll be. I don't know if he'll be officially part of Intersection Studios, but he'll definitely be helping us out with our friend Sean Doyle with audio who's stuff
on the last podcast.
Yeah, came out with us to RTX and.
Yep, he'll be coming back to Minnesota and working with us.
Yep.
So exciting times.
It's exciting times.
Yeah. He's going to do all the electronics for me.
But yeah, so that's, I guess, what's been going on with us lately. We want to do a short coming up soon. As always, we always want to do shorts. But we wanted to do at least one this summer, and we're going to do it soon. I guess, what is it up to? Is it up to me?
Yes,
and
it is.
I'm talking
when you contact Kelly right. for...
Catherine.
Catherine, sorry. Sorry,
Catherine. Our writer, but then okay, fine. We'll move from there once we get to that point.
It's just been hard because we've all been on vacation.
It is, so. You know, summer plans.
Yeah,
we have 3 months of summer here in Minnesota, so we got to enjoy it.
Yeah, we need to take advantage of it before it gets cold.
Exactly, and it already kind of has.
I know for me, I have nothing planned anymore.
I like the fall
as far as vacation or anything.
Mm-hmm.
I think I have some.
Ramfest
family stuff comes up.
I'll probably do some of that.
Yeah.
All right.
I still haven't been to that.
You should do it.
It's a lot of fun. I should.
Yeah.
I think something always comes up.
So I guess kind of continuing with movie making, I don't know. We didn't have much to talk about regionally, but I saw this awesome article last night about Peter Jackson talking about his career with movie making. And I just thought I'd mention it. It of course, talks about... kind of how he started and what drew him into cinema, it was, I think he kind of made it big, pretty well known that King Kong, the original King Kong, was the one that made him want to make movies. Mm-hmm. And he goes and talks about his experience with Lord of the Rings. And there's this really cool part that he started talking about. Let's see. The interviewer asked him what was the most difficult part of any project he's done. And he was saying that it's the making of Gollum in Lord of the Rings, because he didn't mm-hmm. know if it was going to work. He said, let's see if I can get the quote. If the movies were stigmatized by a horribly executed fake cartoon character pretending to be Gollum, they would have suffered very greatly. It was a risk because we shot the sequences in the film assuming we were going to put in a digital character long before we successfully realized it. We would have had no option to go back and put somebody in makeup and shoot those scenes again. So they kind of like put all their chips on the table to for that effect. And then he also said after that, the interviewer said, can you make the same emotions from a CGI character that you can get from an actor wearing makeup? He said, I do think that for the degree of performance that I want to get out of some of these characters, we're getting to the point where digital effects are certainly overtaking prosthetics to some extent. For instance, in the movies we're making now, we have a lot of dwarf characters. Now, you would never have 13 dwarfs in The Hobbit as CG characters. That would be crazy. You'd be virtually making a Pixar film. Mm-hmm. You want to get all the wonderful joy out of the individual performances. However, in Lord of the Rings, we had a lot of actors in prosthetics playing orcs. And I was always a little frustrated by that. If I could have afforded it then, I would have much preferred to have all orcs as CGI. Now in The Hobbit, I can. It's interesting because one of the main differences of the new Hobbit films is, you know, a lot of the orcs are CG, including Azog, the main orc. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like it or not, that's how he's doing it. I personally kind of preferred the prosthetic, the real-life orcs better because they seemed like Lurtz, I think his name is the orc in the Fellowship of the Ring that Aragorn fights at the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was a menacing, like, badass orc.
But yeah. I agree, though, that the emotion, like, he couldn't do that much. It was just like, like, frowny face.
He could look angry,
like,
yep.
when you need them to talk and interact with, like, the head orc dude, King mm-hmm. Orc, whatever his name was, like, to have a talking sequence with those characters, because they didn't have that in the original Lord of the Rings. They didn't really talk at all. Mm-hmm. Maybe said some line or two here and there.
And then maybe that's when you go into having an actor with prosthetics going about and having those interactions with the actor. But then when you have the camera shots focusing on that person's face, that's when you roto out or putting in the face kind of deal.
The people can tell, though, when you're switching that much. Like if you...
A good example of that consistent. Is Matrix Reloaded.
Yeah.
And they had the all CG Neo, and it's like, clearly having a CG model. I remember watching the behind the scenes, and the guy was like, it's so amazing, the technology now. I can have Neo, like, spinning, like, really fast. And we're like, yeah, but it looks like a cartoon.
That was pretty bad.
Yeah.
Definitely getting a lot better, especially the Gollum now is just pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm. But that was really
even the King Kong that he did. I thought they did an amazing job with.
I still haven't seen King Kong.
And what's funny about that is he says in the article that, you know, nobody is going to go back and watch the original black and white films. And if they do, they're not going to get the same joy out of it that I had. So he wanted to recreate it for the new generation of moviegoers, which is kind of cool, you know, to bring back something that affected you to a new audience, a new generation of moviegoers.
Yeah, because, I don't know, that's what I don't like when people get mad about their coveted old, even the Star Wars or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Like, it just, I'm not in the 70s. Like, I can't, even when I try to play, like, old games, and I just, like, I just played Half-Life because I didn't play that back in
Half-Life
the day.
Half-Life 1?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, like, it was pretty good, but it's just, like, the model detail, and it's just, like, it just doesn't capture me the same way because there is so much more now. Like, that was amazing back in the day, like the technology then.
For as,
like,
as amazing,
you were able to be in it and be like, oh my god, this is amazing.
So then, how does that go to like for Minecraft? Because Minecraft doesn't necessarily have like great technology. I mean, as far as graphics are concerned,
it's polished though. As far as movement
and
control
playability.
And playability. Mm-hmm.
A good example is GoldenEye. Like, you try and play that game nowadays with the N64 controller, it's a mess. It's so hard to control what you're doing.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Like to aim, you have to hold down the R and use your like analog and like do this,
mm-hmm.
or this or the C buttons.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's not polished, like you said. Minecraft has a really fluid playability to it.
Yeah.
But Half-Life is polished, though. I mean, there's nothing that's really... As far as, like, movement and stuff like that, I don't think there's anything that's changed.
I thought the movement was terrible. Like, I couldn't... I was falling off things all the time.
Really?
Like...
So I don't feel like it's changed much between that and
like,
then the
like, the walking, when you stop, version. You slide instead of just stop, like you would.
Don't you do that in real life?
Yeah, so it's, like, I couldn't get used to that. Like, I was just, like, sliding all over the place and, like, couldn't... And then maybe that's part of the gameplay, but... It was just like it was kind of annoying, but anyways,
yeah. So I guess my main point going back to Lord of the Rings thing was it's interesting to see that Peter Jackson, had he the opportunity, he wouldn't have done Lord of the Rings as he did it. So I guess with The Hobbit, he's kind of doing it how he would have wanted to. I guess.
Mm-hmm. I definitely though that brings up
George Lucas.
Yeah,
okay. brings up.
I don't know if it's that bad.
Yeah. The Stan Winston company and Legacy Effects, they did, I don't know if you guys saw it, this robot thing for Comic-Con.
Yeah.
That was really cool.
And they're trying to push, you know, like they still want a place with practical effects and stuff like that, which I totally agree with. But like, I don't know, like Jackson said, like you can't get the movement. It's always more sluggish. And like, I think it works if, the shot's very like static and you're just trying to get this this feeling across, like I would totally go that way and not use 3D. But if you're trying to have people fight or robots roll around, like you can't do that with today's technology.
Yeah, I guess the only thing for me is that whenever I see CGI, that just kind of takes me out of the experience of or like being into the movie.
Sure, okay. But like how would you contrast that with Pacific Rim, because that was a lot of CG. Like, did that take you out?
No, I don't know. I thought it was great, the quality, and like I didn't think about it because I knew that it's a movie, first of all. And they're big giant robots fighting big monsters. Like, I know that they're not real.
Yeah, but you know it's not real, so you're not trying to like tell if it's real or not because you just don't care.
Yeah.
Versus like with the first Lord of the Rings, Lord of the Rings, like with the orcs and stuff, like they seem real. You don't have to question whether they're real or not.
I meant it as in they're a fictional character. Like, orcs don't exist in real life. Like, I don't need it to be on a plain fill of like, oh, that looks like a real person, even though like it's
sure.
Not there. Gollum doesn't exist in our world. I don't know.
Okay.
I'd rather have emotion than physical properties.
I understand what you're saying, Ben. There's bad CG that can definitely take you out of a scene.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
I'll use a really
just like The Matrix, like.
And that did. I'll use a really good example, though, when George Lucas tried to do the special edition, which is now, of course, the only edition.
Yeah.
Yep.
Where Jabba the Hutt is in A New Hope in the beginning.
Yeah. In text to Han.
Well, even just like the walking around the city, they try to put those walking animals.
Yeah,
or, like, it's fine if you want to put, like, put a ship in the background, but
you just like shoved a bunch of crap in front of the camera. But anyway, so Han's like talking with Jabba and like walking around him, and like you can clearly tell like when they try and like roto him out, and it looks like he's like jittering around the frame. That is probably a good example of.
I'm always confused about that because that's the only thing I remember from those movies is that. So
really,
I never saw anything different than
that.
Did
you ever see the theatrical versions of them?
Oh, okay.
Probably not.
See, I grew up with the VHS set.
Yeah,
that was
that's
the last...
what I had.
Yeah, okay. What, the special edition? Or
I don't know. It was probably the special edition then.
Because the special edition was on VHS set, but before that came out, there was a VHS set of the ones that didn't have the CG.
Mm-hmm. There was also...
And that was I was used to.
There's also a DVD,
just the guy
too.
Are you talking about?
Wait, what?
Or just the guy?
No, so there's an extra scene in the special edition in A New Hope where Han... Or I think that... the Jabba confronts Han in front of the
Before they get on the Millennium Falcon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, because before, when they filmed it, it was just a guy. Like
Correct.
A, actually
yeah.
human person.
But then it was never actually in the theatrical.
Yeah, that wasn't part of the...
Okay.
The one that I grew up with, I never saw that scene. And in the one that I grew up
so
with, Greedo
so
didn't
when,
shoot.
Yep, so, yeah. when the scene existed, it was always the 3D. It was never the the human.
Yeah, it was never the person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they tried to do that stupid, like, Greedo shoots, and then they, like, take Han's head and, like jerk it to the side, like he's trying to dodge the laser or something, and it just looks bad. Like, because in the one that I grew up with, Han just straight up murders him. He shoots him. There's no, like, Greedo shooting first.
And with the Hutt, actually remember watching that, the reason he jitters around is because the human never had a tail that he had to walk over, yeah. So they made it, they try to, like, lift him up to make it seem like he's walking on the tail.
Interesting.
Okay. That scene never made any sense to me anyway, because yeah. Jabba's trying to, like, he's pissed off at Han, and he's just like, all right, see ya.
Yeah.
Because later on, like, he sends a bounty hunter after him,
mm-hmm.
but he just, I don't know, whatever. It doesn't matter. We're getting off topic.
Are we? Is there a topic?
Well, right now we're just talking about miscellaneous stuff, I guess, so.
Yeah, other than that, like, Comic-Con.
Yep, that, like, just happened.
A lot of stuff came from that. I know we were talking about DC Comics are trying to get into the what Marvel's doing with Batman and Superman movie, which will
eventually lead to a Justice League.
Not sure. Yeah, that's what they're trying to get to.
With the Green Lantern and Wonder Woman.
But, like, I think there's just too much Marvel stuff now. Like, yeah. They have the Thor, the Captain America, the other Avengers. They have a TV show now. They have mm-hmm. another movie, like two other movies.
With not to mention characters. All the X-Men.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the new X-Men, which I'm actually excited for that one. I liked the, what was it, Last Stand?
First Class.
Or no.
First Class.
Last Stand was the other one. which wasn't that great, but...
oh god, are you talking about X-Men 3, The Last Stand?
Yeah. Yeah.
The president, I watched that one a couple weeks ago. The president in that, god, he only has one variety of line, and that's the whole, like, then God help us all, and like the my god, like, he's like, he's trying to be funny about it. Like, the worst president ever, you know, the generic old white guy. Mm-hmm. Like, my god, get the Pentagon on the line.
The Pentagon. This would sound like,
oh well,
yeah, fine. Pentagon. No, it actually looks pretty cool. It looks like they have the young characters and the old
mm-hmm.
in the same movie.
Okay,
they'll probably be something like splits that. Back and forth.
So Gandalf will be in that, and
Gandalf.
Use the Force, Harry.
Patrick Stewart.
I don't know. Yeah, he's.
Are you talking about the meme with Patrick Stewart?
Insult four types of nerds at once.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Patrick Stewart saying, use the Force, Harry, Gandalf.
What else was there?
Well, what
tons
else?
Tons of Marvel stuff.
You know what my question is? So they're if they do like a Justice League thing, they're going to have to, well, I'm guessing they'll want to introduce maybe at least one more superhero to add to it. And if they do, will they make it an origin story? Because all these superhero movies are origin stories when they first start out. You know, mm-hmm. Spider-Man, Batman, Superman. Like, they're all the origin stories. And then they do sequels based on that.
Probably the next one that I think they'll be able to get into would either be The Flash or Nightwing.
Sure. But my question is, would it be an origin story?
Probably.
And do we need another? Because I feel like some of these stories could be told, like, all right, we understand what a superhero is, like, and we're familiar with this superhero because this has been around for decades. Maybe just kind of jump in with this superhero. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe that's crazy talk.
Sometimes they do it. I know, the Black Widow. Like, they just kind of had her in Iron Man. They didn't mm-hmm. really give her any backstory, and
just kind of tossed her right in.
But it seems like they're. To me, like, they're using Avengers. Like, they're gonna make movies. Like, there's this new one, Guardians of the Galaxy, that they just started filming, and it's probably gonna introduce a lot of different characters. And then once they have that, then they can bring them over to the Avengers franchise and kind of build upon that and continue it.
Ben, what do you think about the new Thor movie? Have you seen the trailer?
I've seen the trailer. I've seen one of them. Is there only one?
I don't know. What do you think?
I think it's probably will be Natalie Portman's second worst performance.
She seemed really out of place.
Have you not seen The Phantom Menace?
That's true.
It's been a while.
All three of them.
Yeah.
What else? Oh, yeah, the... Spider-Man. The next one is
there's another one coming out.
Yeah, yeah, Amazing Spider-Man 2.
It's Electro with I'm terrible with names. The Django guy, Jamie Foxx.
The Django guy.
He's gonna be Electro.
Okay.
You should look that picture up.
So
people didn't like that.
Ben, what did you what did you think of the first Thor?
I thought it was very campy, and I mean, I enjoyed it, but I didn't think it was really
great. Here's what my impression was. It's like the director looked at the story and said, "All right, we need to get from where we are now through this movie to the Avengers as quick as possible."
Yeah.
And we need to do it just. Let's, come on. We're wasting time.
I didn't think it was that great of a story, to be honest. Like, it, I don't know. I just didn't really. I enjoyed it, but I agree with you. It just seemed like it was an introduction for Thor, and that's about it.
Mm-hmm. I kind of liked its campiness.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I didn't mind it.
Like, it was just like, that's what it is.
Ben,
like,
there was,
I wasn't trying to pretend to be something else. But I enjoyed
Captain America much more.
There was a moment in Thor that reminded me of you, Ben. And that's the moment where he's at the cafe and he's drinking and he's like, "This is good. Another!" And he smashes the cup. I'm like, Ben would do that.
Yeah, there are many parts where he made me incredibly happy. So.
Anyway, I'm just wanting your opinion. Okay, so things to look forward to this fall. Obviously, fall... to me, seems like the best time for movies because you get a lot of good movies. Like, well,
are you excited about anything?
You know, it's still early. There could be movies that are yet to be announced coming out this fall. I think it's definitely not as strong as last fall's lineup. You know, with Skyfall, Cloud Atlas, and a few other I'm forgetting. The Hobbit, but that's kind of later on.
The next one will come out. The next Hobbit will come out.
Right. I mean, besides that, I'm not.
Wasn't it more sure winter, though?
It is. I kind of say, you know, once the summer ends, that to the end of the year, that's like a good time for movies for me. Like, mm-hmm. If you exclude the stupid Christmas movies that come out every year.
I'm excited for The Hobbit. The trailer looked really good. Like, yeah. It felt like the first one was just kind of like a setup. Like, yeah. And now things are going to happen.
I still really want to hear Benedict Cumberbatch. I can't never say his name.
Benedict Cumberbatch.
Cumberbatch. Yeah. His voice. I want to hear his voice.
You'll hear it.
No. I will. I want to hear it in the trailer. Or if they're just going to save it for the movie.
Seen The Hobbit?
Huh?
Yeah, he's the voice of Smaug.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, okay. So one thing that the trailer for The Desolation of Smaug, in the beginning, they show the Lonely Mountain from the lake. And it's this gorgeous, you know, perfectly rendered mountain. And I contrast that with the two towers when we see Rohan for the first time and Edoras. And you know, you have Peter Jackson talking about how he had, you know, his scout department find this perfect hill backdropped by these white snowy slopes. And looking at that, it's so majestic because you're looking at a real place. As opposed to the Lonely Mountain, which is, you know, done by an artist. And I know that you can get a lot more of a surreal mountain by doing that. But I don't know, to me, having Edoras as a physical place that I'm looking at just felt so much cooler to me.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
That's, no, I entirely agree.
I don't know. Lee, what do you think?
I mean, it goes back to your conversation.
I don't really care. Talking
about. Doesn't matter. It's a fictional place either way.
It's a picture of a mountain.
yeah.
As long as it doesn't take me out of the story.
I suppose. Yeah.
I don't know. That's just me.
And you know what? These three Hobbit movies as a whole are going to be like that regardless. They're gonna have that kind of surreal feel to it. And in that way, I like it because it's contrasted with The Lord of the Rings because it is that more kind of, I don't want to say lighthearted, but it does have that kind of like dwarf quality to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's different. Like the
well, The Hobbit was written as a children's story.
But you could argue that he went back and rewrote the scene with Gollum, and he eventually...
That's the only thing he got to do, though. He wanted to make
it a darker story.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I like to think that this is kind of how Tolkien would have gone back and rewritten it. You know, so the whole children's story, yeah, maybe. I think there are elements of that in here, it is still kind of like a darker Lord of the Rings style movie, but there's lighter elements in it that, you know, you didn't really have in Lord of the Rings, which I like. And along with that, you're going to have like the nice fairy tale CG look, mm-hmm. which is fine. It's just a small gripe. I'm not making a big thing.
Who's the new elf, the lady from Lost?
They added her. Or did they add Legolas?
I was just trying to remember.
Well, Legolas wasn't in the book, but he's definitely present in the events. He mm-hmm. just wasn't mentioned in the book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he was definitely going to... He would have been in the same area. Geographically.
Oh, she looks pretty hot. As an elf.
Another movie coming up. Actually, I believe this month is Jobs.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the Ashton Kutcher movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I read a review... it premiered at Sundance, I want to say, and mm-hmm. I read a review saying that it's not like anything like Oscar worthy, but it's not the disaster that some people might think it'll be.
Mm. Mm. I definitely probably gonna wait though. I don't think I can spend movie theater you can't money justify, on that.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I understand, and you know what? At this point, there's been so many movies done about Jobs that it's hard to see this one as like the Jobs movie, because like Pirates of Silicon Valley was really good. I enjoyed that. That's where Mr. Wiley, I know Wiley's his last name, I can't remember his first name.
Wozniak?
No, the guy who played Steve Jobs in mm-hmm. Pirates of Silicon Valley. I thought he was really good. He did a really good job, so much so that in one of the early 2000s keynote, or maybe late 99 keynote, he came out as Steve Jobs in the beginning of the keynote. And then he started to introduce the next product or whatever, and then Steve came out and said, no, you're doing me all wrong.
Nah.
Like, I do this, then I do this.
That's fantastic.
I really like that movie. Probably find it online for free like I did on whatever video service. But there's that movie, and I want to say there's one more too that kind of highlights how Apple started and that whole thing. So this one, you know, we'll see how it compares. Look, Lee, you were saying that Ashton Kutcher's voice is too low and kind of because his voice is so, you know, bound to Kelso from that 70s show, yeah. That it's hard to see him as anything else.
Yeah.
Kind of like, you know, actors like Tom Cruise. Like, in every movie he's in, I just see Tom Cruise. It's hard to see him as whatever character he's playing. He's just, you know, Tom Cruising it. I don't know.
I kind of get the same feeling with Brad Pitt, though, too.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Yeah. Except Tropic Thunder. Tom Cruise wasn't Tom Cruise in Tropic Thunder.
Yes, he was.
Okay, yeah. But he was a hilarious version.
He had prosthetics on.
A hilarious fat version of Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
That was pretty funny.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Ender's Game.
Ender's Game is
we're
coming.
Pretty excited about that.
Yeah. My goal is to read the book before I see that movie.
You don't have much time.
Well, I'm not going to. Maybe. I don't have to see it right when it comes out.
You're not going
to
see it with me?
You don't wait for me anyway. You just saw Elysium without me.
You're always working.
Yeah, exactly. It's a problem. Quitting my job to see this movie. But, I'll have to look at it again about what movies are coming out this fall. But I just feel like fall is the time when good movies come out.
Mm-hmm. Because everybody's outside in the summer.
Yeah.
Most everybody.
Okay, well, what else?
I don't know.
We have some internet, I guess, shows. Rooster Teeth released Ruby. I should mention that for David's sake, because mm-hmm. if he was here, he'd be talking that up.
I'm not sure if the technical name is anime, but I guess that's what I would call it.
That's so animation with anime, with Japanese... anime kind of influence.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's how, who's the guy? Start with an M.
Monty.
That's how Monty described it in the panel. Okay. Was anime.
Okay. Mm.
Yeah. But so what is Ruby for, let's say, I don't know what it is.
It's an anime show from...
What's it about? What's it about?
I think it's kind of like an Earthset world, but like everybody you can use powers. There's called like dust or something.
Yeah,
like
there's
that.
These like dust... stuff that like powers these, everybody has like, not everybody, these, they're like students in a school right now, and they have these, everybody has these weapons like, that they build themselves.
The students become like almost more or less heroes kind of deal. I feel like
there's some type of magic stuff that mm-hmm. they haven't really explained yet, but and these students really have these weapons the that shoot ammo or dust or whatever, and they also use them for melee
weapons.
And so the story revolves around these four characters.
Four women.
Mm-hmm. Red, white, yellow, and
black.
Black. Yeah. Ruby.
There's other characters now, too, on the side.
Which is confusing because, what is it? Is it Red, whose name is Ruby?
Mm-hmm.
So there's the show Ruby, And then there's Ruby, the character.
She's the main character.
Okay.
Yeah, or at least it's from her perspective.
But the show is not named after her. It's named after the four of them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I see what he did there.
They might do something special with that. Yeah, what else?
The yellow and red are sisters?
No, yeah, sorry. Red and yellow. Yes, that's correct. The
highly sexualized models, I might add.
Really?
Except for Ruby, who's like 15, not like really. Doesn't even really show anything.
I think yellow is pretty sexualized.
Not compared to existing anime, no. But
what kind of anime are you talking about? Hmm?
Anime, you like all anime?
Watch anime.
Yeah, you don't watch anime, do you?
I guess not.
Just looking at Cortana pictures.
Nice.
That's all I need.
Video Game High School season 2 started,
which Freddie W was at RTX talking about.
Mm-hmm. I don't think I'll watch that. I don't know. I just,
you know,
Did you watch season 1?
I watched like,
you didn't finish season 1?
3 episodes.
Here's the thing about season 1. There was a lot of good stuff in it, but too much stuff that I would consider filler and not relevant to anything.
Mm-hmm.
There was really cool moments like when the law took his, like, he was trying to register for a clan, right? He's trying to register for like tryouts for a clan or something for
it's the high school's was it varsity team? Or
yeah,
something
yeah,
like
yeah.
That?
So JV. The law was like, no, you can't register. He takes his like his swipe card, puts it on the top of this flagpole, which is right next to the Mario like pyramid thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so he has this awesome moment where he like gets past everybody, runs up the thing and jumps and like slow motion, you know, and he grabs it from the top of the flag. It was a really cool moment.
There are some really cool moments, but I feel like there's also a lot of, I don't know, like there's a point in season 2 where the, I think, character Jenny or whatever.
Don't tell me. I haven't seen it yet.
Do you? Oh, okay.
I'm going to watch it.
No okay. Spoilers.
Yeah.
There are moments where it feels like a bad Disney teenage show.
I understand that. And whether or not they're going for that, I think is irrelevant because you got to kind of factor in how the audience is going to, you know, perceive mm-hmm. your show.
And let's be honest, probably a large chunk of their audience is actually probably kids. Like 12 year olds.
Oh God. Are we getting old, guys?
Yeah. We're old.
Shit.
Oh, shit.
We are old.
I mean, I watched the trailer for season 2 and I thought it had some funny moments in there that I'd like to see
mm-hmm.
with like the law or you, cause you like, you look exactly like the law.
I guess I look like the law.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Cool. I dig it.
I don't know. I guess the main thing that I didn't like about Video Game High School, because it's a cool idea, but I feel like the audience had no real reason to root for the hero. And you need that. You need a reason to root for your hero.
Mm-hmm.
Even if he's an underdog, he needs to like have one thing that he can do better than anybody.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I didn't see that. Yeah. He kind of got lucky at the end of the series or the season 1. But I feel like that just happened because the screenwriters said it should happen. Like,
sure.
And now he wins, saves the day, and he gets the girl. Okay, well, great.
Yeah. Okay, but then there's plenty of underdog stories that are just like, you just are set up to want to like the underdog. I mean, isn't that kind of what the U.S. is always kind of?
No, I agree with Wade, though. Like, he still does something
mm-hmm.
that.
Like, mm-hmm. like Luke Skywalker is an turns underdog, leave. But he's a really good pilot, and he's able by his both his ability and luck to destroy the Death Star.
Yeah,
sure.
And his friends
and
to help him.
And use the Force, and he trained with Yoda and stuff. Like, yeah. He had development.
Like, he had heart. I feel like if the protagonist from Video Game High School played the part of Luke, he'd have been like, oh, I can't, and then he would have crashed his X-Men.
Yeah. The only thing I like about that project is that they're able to do that now with the internet.
Yeah.
And, like, crowdsource it and mm-hmm. have that opportunity. Like, that's amazing to me, and to work around the mainstream
mm-hmm. studios
big mega companies.
The fact that show exists and is done to the quality that it is, like the as mm-hmm. far as like the production the value and like
an
the visual effects they're able to do and how it like looks is really cool. But you know, we're critiquing the story. That's what I'm doing anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you.
I will give them the credit, though, because it is Freddie W. They focus so much on first-person shooters. They're trying to, I guess, do more of a wide variety of games, which is cool. I like that.
Yeah. One last thing to at least bring up or mention is that Orange is the New Black, which is Netflix's latest.
You really like that one, don't you?
I don't really. I think it's. I love the fact that Netflix is creating their own TV shows.
Have you watched any of the Hulu ones? Or you don't?
No, I've never
cared about.
I've watched a couple of them. I've watched Revolution. That was about like all electricity is gone, and now this is how.
No, that wasn't Hulu.
No, that wasn't Hulu.
That was a main.
That wasn't Hulu.
That was TV.
Oh shit!
I haven't been interested by any of the.
They have a new one. TV shows. The Awesomes or something like that.
There's also like a Wild West. I forget.
Yeah, I just saw that.
Yeah,
that kind of looks funny.
I don't know.
I'm intrigued by the idea of watching a whole season, like releasing a whole season.
But they did that for Arrested Development too.
Mm-hmm. That's, have you guys watched that?
I did. Yeah,
I haven't gotten into it.
Or Alicia did.
I watched the first couple episodes.
Yeah,
it doesn't. Feel
it wasn't. It wasn't the same. No. Which, again, I always hate that. Like, oh, it's not the same.
But at the same time.
I didn't like all the jumping around. Like I felt like I didn't know what was going on.
It was done. It was done in the same style, but it was off. It wasn't. Mm-hmm. It didn't have the same. I don't know.
Mojo. Some of it was pretty good.
There was one hilarious moment that where Tobias is like, he like comes home, like comes into a house, and he's wearing that The Thing costume. He's like, thinks his daughter's there, and he's like, "Where's my little girl? Daddy needs to get his rocks off." And they're like, places being monitored by like Chris Hansen, like the Catch Predator. Anyway, so it's interesting to see, you know, Netflix and Hulu kind of both competing with each other with their original series. I haven't watched House of Cards, but apparently that's the Netflix show.
It is so good. Season 2 is supposed to come out like next year, 2014. Obviously it's next year.
It's like are they trying to compete with like HBO?
Yeah, the CEO specifically said that we as Netflix want to become HBO before HBO can become Netflix.
Oh, wow.
I want more things like HBO, which is awesome. That's what I'm into right now. We're watching Newsroom and Game of Thrones.
Newsroom is a cool idea for a show because it's like stuff that's happened what a year and a half ago.
That's what I love about it. Yeah. Yeah.
That's kind of cool. I like that.
It's like just relevant enough but far enough back to kind of like play with it
and have like retrospect on it. Yeah. That's cool. So, it's all about like what is it covering now? It's like leading
up.
They're on the
Romney campaign, Obama. Oh. They just had like,
it's funny, there are times where I forget who Romney is, or I forget like who's the person who ran against Obama like a year ago.
Romney, that's right. That's what Colbert does. There was like, he's like, "Who are you again? What is your name?"
There was like 15 of them in the beginning, candidates.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Including Michelle Bachmann, who's from our state and
Lee not and running.
Right, but Lee and I grew up in her district.
Really?
Let it be known.
Oh.
Unfortunately. So, yeah.
Well, at least you're not, like, to blame because you couldn't have voted for her when you were that young.
It's true. That's very true. Although, no. Anyway. We're not going to get into politics.
Well, I think that's it. Excited to make a 3D printer and watch a bunch of movies.
All right, so...
And video games.
Next time we have an episode, we're going to talk about how we have our 3D printer.
Hopefully. We'll...
Well, we'll see.
Only time can tell.
A little ambitious, but
cool. Well, David will be joining us too, and hopefully Sean one of these episodes.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Mm-hmm.
So, thanks for joining us.
Cool.
We will see you next time.